Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnywell. Chuck should be joining us here shortly. He is at the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, putting the newspaper to bed. It goes out tomorrow. That's always like a ton of work. But wanted to talk today. And actually, I should say, feel free to call in 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You can always weigh in on the chat section here in the Zoom call. And if you want to just go ahead and raise your hand or just come on too if you want to comment. But wanted to talk about the confirmation hearings. To me, it's like if there was ever any doubt, which there was not, the Democrats are lunatics. It's being proven at these confirmation hearings. We'll get into the Hegseth one yesterday. There were a ton of sound there. But you've got, you know, Pam Bondi, John Ratcliffe, all kinds of the cabinet picks going through the confirmation hearings. And the Democrats are just like insane. Climate change people tried to block the hearing for the guy who's nominated from Colorado. And their comments are just... They're just like losing their minds, right, over some of these appointments. Pam Bondi schooled Schiff when he was talking about crime and things like that. And she's like, you're talking to me about crime? You're from California. Your crime rate is like 87%, literally higher than everywhere else in the country. And seriously, you want to talk to me about crime? You know, they talk about lawfare. And it was funny listening. It was like listening to them talking to Pam Bondi. You might actually use the Department of Justice to go after people and target political opponents. And I was just like, no one would ever use the Department of Justice to go after political opponents. And here's Chuck now joining us from World Headquarters. And it's a kind of thing, again, the Democrats are accusing the Republicans of, you know, perhaps going to do what the Democrats have been doing all along. And Chuck, you watched a little bit more of the Pam Bondi hearing. What any takeaways from your point of view there?
Yeah, they were terrified of her. I mean, they couldn't ask her any tough questions. I mean, they were willing to kind of attack her from afar, at least Durbin was. But really, they were, when the questions came, the senators were terrified. She was far too slick for them, and so they weren't even weren't even trying. The Hegseth one was so much fun as they were yelling and screaming. And I know you've got a couple of tapes.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of sound bites we'll play. And before we get into that, though, let me ask you, why do you think they hate? And I mean, we know that they hate anybody who Trump likes, they automatically hate. But Pete Hegseth, I mean, they launched, I mean, all, what if there was guys like, we heard that you were drunk at a party one time and had to be carried to your hotel room. Like, number one, you know, that's reason to disqualify somebody. You know, maybe you don't want them running your DUI program, but... you know, and he's like, well, that wasn't true. I mean, they had all these fake news comments. I mean, they were quoted. I mean, Fox News people, all the his coworkers said, no, he was never drunk at work. And they kept talking about him being drunk at work. And we'll play a pretty funny soundbite on that. But why is it, do you think, that him in particular, that particularly the female members of the committee, hate him so much?
Well, there's two parts to that. One, it's the hyena effect. You know, in the wild, I'd love to study lions and hyenas, but hyenas, females are bigger than the males. It's a matriarchy. And the females even have false penises in the form of hairs hang down under their legs. And they're in charge, right?
As it should be.
As it should be. Well, that's what, you know, that's what these women think too. I mean, you know, and they're used to it. They're used to being deferred to, and don't mansplain that to me. And
right.
Anything else. They have no, they Karenize their Democratic colleagues and most of the wimpy Republicans too. And so this guy comes who's both good looking, young, good looking, and
articulate.
Articulate, and he reeks of toxic masculinity. So it just repels them. Just his whole persona repels them. And they can't believe that he's not going to defer to their place
Right.
as queens at the head of the line. Secondly, he represents MAGA taking back the military and the Pentagon. That's huge. And he's not going to be a Mark Milley who's really underneath him, a DEI guy, but he managed to hide it long enough. Hegseth is going to go there and rip all the DEI programs out. He's gonna stop the academies from all having heads that run all kinds of gender quotas. And I mean, it's that's a talk about a big department. I mean, the entire military, and he's gonna bring in some of his toxic masculine friends to fill up the other departments across the thing. And so they're and you know they're not really. In the army, you don't have all the protections that civil servants have from being fired or at least asked to retire. So he could wreak incredible havoc against the left wing. Well, you know, they took it over 16 years ago with Obama. Even under Trump, they still had control through Milley. And so no, it was important for them. And he moreover, he doesn't fit. And you know the normal cabinet criteria of being around for
Like
seven years
a swamp
forever and doesn't have
bureaucrat.
all the
Well,
ribbon.
and with the, I was going to say, and with the some of the accusations, which apparently the FBI was not able to verify any of them, he would show up to work drunk. He was a womanizer. He was this. He was that. He was this. He was that. All of which he, for the most part, denied. Right. And the one,
Or else he said, "I'm a changed man."
I'm a changed man. And no,
And
he wasn't like it
or
wasn't.
yeah, so
He wasn't like a child murderer, and he's a changed man. It's like, okay, I don't drink as much or womanize as much. But that's
it was most the Democratic side was filled most prominently by women, Elizabeth Warren, Kristen Gillibrand, Hirano from
he's
Hawaii.
Toronto,
The
yeah.
Republicans really are mostly guys, and some of the guys were younger, and so you had a very much of a feel. Of the battle of the sexes between the two sides of the one. I mean, I think you got a quote from the
Right,
senator
let me play. So this is
from
where I was explaining
Oklahoma.
why they were talking about being drunk. And so this was pretty funny, where one of the senators, Senator Mullen, says, yeah, and like, who are we to talk about people being drunk? Doug, if we could please play the drunk senator's soundbite.
The senator from Massachusetts brought up about serving on a board inside the military industry, and yet your own secretary that you all voted for, Secretary Austin, we had to vote on a waiver because he stepped off the board of Raytheon. But I guess that's okay because that's a Democrat Secretary of Defense. But you so quickly forget about that. And then Senator Kaine, or I guess I better use the senator from Virginia, starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? You guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy because the man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you guys hold yourself as this higher standard and you forget you got a big plank in your eye. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. And Jennifer, thank you for loving him through that mistake. Because the only reason why I'm here and not in prison is because my wife loved me too.
Yeah. And Charlene is saying they showed up drunk at night and some in the daytime. I mean, it's got a point. It was like, I mean, I'm glad to see the Senate Republicans jumping to his defense, right?
Yeah, well, some of the younger ones, it was, and you know, it was interesting how the only woman in the Republican side, I think, is Joni Ernst, the senator
Who
from
now says she's going to
Iowa,
vote for him, right?
who was maybe not going to vote for him until the MAGA world came down on her. Notice how the phrasing, you know, how many men over in the Senate were engaged in adultery, resulting in a divorce. He didn't say, because Joni Ernst, in her 2019 divorce, it was proven that she had been cheating on her husband before the divorce. And so Joni was sitting there that's her going,
Don't pan the
Dah!
camera over on me.
Yeah, we're not gonna go there, are we?
Well, and Jacob, I see you got your hand raised. Let me play one other soundbite, and then we'll get to Jacob. Because this guy, the next one, it's a senator who actually, I think, asked pertinent questions, right? And showed why somebody like Hegseth probably would be good in charge of the Department of Defense. If we could please play just the Hegseth soundbite.
Pete, I'm actually going to ask you questions because I want to hear your answer. How many genders are there? Tough one.
Senator, there are two genders.
I know that well. I'm a Sheehy, so I'm on board.
Senator Sheehy.
What is the diameter of the rifle round fired out of an M4 A1 rifle?
That's a 5.56.
How many push-ups can you do?
I did 5 sets of 47 this morning.
What do you think our most important strategic base is in the Pacific?
In the Pacific, Guam is pretty strategically significant.
How many rounds of 5.56 can you fit into the magazine of an M4 rifle?
Depends on the magazine, but standard issue is 30, Senator.
And what size round does the M9 Beretta standard issue sidearm for the military fire?
A 9mm, Senator.
What kind of batteries do you put in your night vision goggle?
Duracell.
So right there, you're representing qualifications that show you understand what the warfighter deals with every single day on the battlefield. You understand what happens on the front line, where our troops will be. And what happens, unfortunately, in this country is decisions made in rooms like this, bad decisions, end up in dead 17, 18, 19-year-old Americans. And those Americans rarely come from families that sit in rooms like this. They come from lower, middle-income families who sometimes the military is on the way out. And they join because maybe they want to go to college. Maybe they know the choice. Maybe they love this country. But for whatever reason, they joined and they saw it on the dotted line. And when people like us screw up, they don't come home. And that's the one thing that I care about is, you remember when I shut the door when you came with your entourage, Senator Coleman? I've known him for a long time. And you and I sat together, asked you one question. You remember what that question was?
Are you going to have the backs of the warfighters?
Exactly. What is going to be your number one priority? And I don't care, frankly, what all these letters and articles say. I've been a part of a smear campaign, too. I get it. I care that you're going to have one thing in mind when you sit in that chair in that five-sided building. And you told me what that was. So with that, you have my support. I'm sorry you have to go through a process like this.
But that's interesting. I mean, in a way,
well,
it's
a
like
new senator. He defeated the incumbent from Montana, and he's another good-looking male, evidencing toxic masculinity. And so Elizabeth Warren was, you know, sticking her tongue out at him and spitballs and everything else. I mean,
well, Charlene
they're
says
not supposed to have those guys on the Senate. You know, they're supposed to be.
Well, but Charlene is saying, would love to see a Democrat even ask those questions, LOL. He was great. Well, yeah, I mean, a Democrat, they won't even know what to ask, right? I mean, remember, we've had Colorado lawmakers debate. They don't even know what magazines are for guns. So, I mean, and it is interesting.
Or what a magazine.
What a magazine even is. Yeah, it's kind of like, so here's somebody who knows what they're talking about, who could turn
around.
Well,
one of the best ones earlier was Kristen Gillibrand. And she was, you know, she was a screaming hyena. And she was incredibly mad at him to imply that moms are maybe not the best butchers on the battlefield as men and stuff. And she indicated, as proof of that, that Hegseth statements about that had hurt her feelings. And so
there you go. Hey, that's it. Hey, Jacob, go ahead and weigh in here. Jacob, you've had your hand up.
It has nothing to do with what's going on in Washington. I was on a plane Monday to LaGuardia. When we got off the plane, there was a crew from the American Airlines there.
Oh.
And they lost a member in Denver.
Right.
Just going out for a smoke or a run or whatever. And they're mad. They are really, really, really. And I hope that somebody that's listening to your show from the mayor's office better get real with this, because there was another guy there. He said he's having a convention in a year, a law convention that was supposed to happen downtown. He was in the middle of canceling it and finding another venue, because these people are afraid to go downtown. They got to start sending these the layover people to either the airport hotel or to the hotels in Stapleton. They're not going to go downtown anymore.
Wow.
They are really, really mad. And they're just, and they're not just holding it in. I mean, they're telling the passengers that Denver's bad. Even on Southwest, they were talking about it. They're just bad-mouthing Denver now.
Wow. Well, and we'll get to that.
But, you know, the mayor, I'm not sure how much fans we have in the mayor's office listening to our program. But as a practical matter, all they care about is the homeless. They don't care if people want a convention in Denver or come to Denver, or whether it hurts the businesses. I mean, he has indicated his only priority is the homeless, augmented now by the newcomers, but they care less.
Well, LA spent $1.3 billion on the homeless last year and took $730 million away from the fire department.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I think, Jacob, what we're going to see, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, too, because that was one of the big topics I had, was, I mean, you're talking about the guy who had been in and out of jail, was released because of progressive bail bond procedures, stabbed four people, two of them fatally, including an American Airlines flight attendant who was at a downtown hotel because of a layover. And it's not like she was wandering around at 3:30 in the morning. She was just outside in the 16th Street Mall, supposedly, you know, sort of the jewel of downtown Denver that they're spending millions to try to fix, and she was stabbed to death by this guy, and he'd already stabbed three other people, right? I mean,
and
that's interesting to know. Well, I've read a statement from the flight attendants, and we mentioned this in our last show, that it's interesting they were talking about it because they were mad. And, you know, at what point do the people of Denver, kind of like the people of LA, at what point do they wake up and say, our city is being destroyed? I mean, Charlene says businesses care, though, in hotel chains.
But the mayor,
I think, is willing to let those go, too. It's like he'll put
care.
All those people in them. Yeah.
I mean, he could just tell them, you know, read our lips. We don't care. You're not the homeless. It's kind of like the prime minister of England or Britain. And they said, you know, if you don't like the way we do things, here's the door and you can get the hell out. I mean, that's the attitude.
You got competing counties like Adams, and well, I wouldn't go to Arapahoe with their mess now. But you got Adams, you know, they're going to pop up 2-3 hotels and tell the pilots and the flight attendants, here, stay with us overnight. You're within 10 minutes of the airport. You don't have to go downtown. Then Denver loses all that revenue.
Right.
They don't care.
Well, they don't care.
He's a progressive.
Yeah, the current progressive, the people are going to have to make the change, right? I mean, this mayor, and I agree with Chuck, is not going to change. But the people, hopefully, like you said, Jacob, the people who would have jobs, the people who would be making money, would at some point sort of care. I don't know what it's going to take for Denver to wake up, right? I saw Colorado is now, more people are leaving Colorado than coming in. There are all these stories about declining enrollment at schools. I got to, you know, here's a clue for you. People are homeschooling their kids. People are sending their children to private schools, right? I mean, I'm doing
this afternoon an article comparing restaurants in Denver and Glendale. And Denver, and you got to remember, Hickenlooper was a restaurateur. I mean, he was an owner of Wine Coop Brewery, and it's just shocking. During COVID, one of the guy who owns Reavers over in Wash Park said inspectors would just come through and they wouldn't tell him what the rules were and just throw out citations at the end of COVID. He's $53,000, and he indicated if he didn't pay it immediately, they revoked the liquor license and closed him down.
Yeah.
They don't care. That's a shocking part. You think, well, you're going to lose all this forever. What do we care? What do we care?
I was at a restaurant about 2 weeks ago, and they had a newbie working for the Department of Environmental Health, and he was just writing them up for everything.
Yeah.
Now, I know these guys, you know, he's only been at the city 2 months. he's on probation. He wants to pass probation. So he also, it was like an $8,000 fine if they didn't
fit.
And I know from working at the city, these guys, that's all they do because they want to get past their probation. And if it costs the businesses the business, who cares?
Yeah.
But the one last thing I was listening to Jesse Kelly, I think it was last night, and he had some guy went out right to the mayor's face, the mayor of Denver's face, and he goes, "You're killing our city."
Yeah.
And he says, "This is the end of the silent majority."
Huh? Well, the mayor was giving a news. He was giving a news conference, and this guy just kind of interrupted the news conference to say that. I hope you're right. Hey, Jacob, that is really interesting. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Jacob.
And let me some from Johnny Johnson, who says it took him 12 hours to find the guy that sucker punched me, 26 hours to get this loser who stabbed the people. And Charlene said, but then the mayor will have a ghost town, so he knows he has to keep up marketing efforts. I think the mayor is a little bit worried. Has Cherry Creek been affected yet by gangs and drugs on the street? You know, there have been a lot of reports. I mean, the Trente Agua people were robbing people. Remember, they were robbing those jewelry stores in Cherry Creek North. And in the Cherry Creek Mall. So they have been affected. I think what's on top of all of that, what I think see the problem in Cherry Creek North is the development and the parking and things like that. I mean, it's a pain to go anywhere in Denver. So we'll get back to that in a second, because that's a great topic. And Chuck, I wanted to talk a little bit about your article, but I just want, because now we have some funny sound bites coming up. So I wanted to get to those. We have the back to the Hex Head hearing. Senator Mazie Hirono was asking him questions and kind of sounded drunk herself, apparently. I mean, I listened to some of it and I don't know what the deal is. I mean, maybe she was sick or maybe who knows. I mean, maybe sometimes she just talks this way. But this is a really funny, somebody put together a spoof on it. So, Doug, if we could please play the spoof video.
Are regularly being drunk at work, including by people who worked with your Fox News. Do you know that being drunk at work is prohibited for service members under the UCMJ?
Senator, those
yes
are
or no?
Multiple false anonymous reports peddled by
For those of you listening, she takes a swig out of the bottle and crashes down drunk. And then one final one on that, Chuck. This is your favorite one. This is a quickie. This is a hysterical Denver women or Democrat women. So, Doug, if we could play the Dem women soundbite. Now that may cause him to change his mind about sending women into combat.
They could be frontline troops in a suicide rush to do that.
Before we get to Denver, too, I wanted to switch gears a little bit. Well, back to the one kind of wrapping up the confirmation hearing. So, Chuck, because you know more about this than me, why don't you explain? Well, they can't find the paperwork on Tulsi, a couple other people, too, that's being held up. And they're just doing that to try to hold things at the FBI, right? So maybe they can confirm Pam Bondi, and then she'll make the FBI find the paperwork on these people. All of these people are public figures, right? It's not like these are people that no one ever heard of, and these are people have all gone through background checks before anyway. So this is the FBI just screwing with the process. But when will they actually start voting on this?
Well, this whole process is different than before. Under Mitch McConnell, what they do is they'd have one a day. It's because some senators are more than one committee. And so they said, well, we can't have, you know, if you can't hear all the testimony, then we'll just do one a day. Here, they're just doing four or five a day. And the fact that you are not part of a hearing, you just go in then there, ask your questions and leave and go back or vice versa. So they're piling them all on top of each other, which is a total change from what Mitch McConnell, it would take at least through March to do even a portion, in some cases, 9 months to get a Senate hearing. And now they're just jamming them all in together. And so as one person described, it's almost like March Madness or something, or Wild Card Weekend.
You don't know where to watch. You're going to have multiple screens up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, to watch all the action.
Well, that's good though, right? I mean,
Well, no, it's great because, you know, you can understand the technical reason. Well, if you don't hear all the testimony and all the questions, how can you validly vote on it? I'll screw that.
Right. It's all kabuki theater anyway.
And so it's an amazing thing. But the president, until the president comes in, you cannot vote for his designees because they're not his they become his designees the minute that he's sworn into office. So what'll happen is early next week they'll beginning to have votes from the committees
Okay.
on it, and then they'll send it to the Senate, which could within a week or so have final votes on it, which is just how much faster than ever done before, in part under the threat of Trump to try to do recess appointments for all of them. I said, "Oh no, you can't do that. We can't get around our advice and consent." So it's jam packed. They're jam packing all
It'll
of
be
them.
interesting to see.
Early.
Next week's going to be fun for. And Charlene, I think this is a good point, Charlene. The Democrats are just trying to get the Karens and the Christian firefighters fired up. That's all they got. You're right. They're appealing to their angry white women, cat woman base. On LA Fire News, you guys are going to be horrified to learn that Hunter Biden has lost millions of dollars worth of his artwork that he made, right,
Oh
in the
no.
fires. Yeah.
No.
He gave like some 200 paintings to some guy whose whole, although the guy's house seems to still be intact from what I gather, but somehow Hunter's paintings were lost. I mean, I think we're looking at possible insurance fraud here. It's kind of like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Hunter paintings were
That's
destroyed in the
terrible.
fire. Yeah, from Jacob, Hunter will be fully compensated. That's crazy, but it's still going on. It's still a nightmare there. One of the bad things is, well, like you said, who else is going to do it? All of these people, many of these people, there was no insurance because they canceled that. They're not going to be able to get insured, which means they're not going to be able to rebuild, which means that developers or speculators are kind of flooding the place.
Well, unless they get the money from the federal government to say, "Oh, okay, here's a few million," and that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping for one of these, like they did for the hurricanes, you know, $100 billion coming out of who knows where. It comes out of nowhere.
And goes who knows where.
Yeah, and they all get millions for their houses. But other than that, they're screwed.
Right.
Which is
But here's
and the
this is
insurance
another thing.
industry is going bye-bye in California.
I think you're right there. Well, and you know, thank goodness in these times, sometimes for all of the funny people. I mean, Twitter has become, I mean, Democrats have no sense of humor, right? So thank goodness the Republicans have a sense of humor. You got this is pretty funny. Somebody put this together. And it's Pelosi, Karen Bass, I forget Newsom and somebody else, I forget who you'll see singing about the fires. Doug, if we could please play All the Homes Are Gone video. Oh, it's Kamala.
All the homes are gone
because of climate change.
Because of climate change.
When the fires are
when
out,
the fires are out,
I'll build a brand new LA.
I'll build a brand new LA.
Here's 700
bucks. 700 bucks.
Land grab is underway.
Land grab is underway.
California's
California's burning.
Illegals are on the way.
Well, I went to fight the fire.
Went to fight the fire.
But there's no water today.
There's no water today.
LA is burning
down. LA is burning down.
But smellfish are okay.
Smellfish are okay.
California's
California's burning.
But my mansion's okay.
Look, guys. I know I probably didn't do the best job of hiring people, but I'm the mayor. That's
right?
all that matters.
And all I care about is money and power.
Me too.
But I'm the governor, and that's all that matters.
Look, I know you lost your house, but cheer up. We got the Olympics coming to California.
Yeah, and all I know is your memories are gone.
Gone.
And they're burned to a
burned
crisp.
to a crisp.
But Los Angeles is hosting the World Cup.
Yeah, look on the bright side, guys. This is why you keep voting for us. You can't live
Right?
without us, guys. So get over
Get
it.
over it,
Keep
guys.
voting for us.
The city's almost
The
gone.
city's almost gone.
In DEI, we pray.
In DEI, we pray.
Speculators,
Speculators.
damage.
That's funny.
Great.
Isn't that great? I mean, it's all true, too. It's all true. And so Dr. Donna says they're going to be compensated through the Ukraine Insurance Money Laundering Agency. And Charlene says the average income of Pacific Palisades resident is $399,000, and they have one resident below the poverty level. And
then one from guy, Mr. Lucky.
Yeah, really. And Jacob says, and you ask how many genders there are. This clip explains it all. But the thing is, it kind of turning into Denver. That's the thing, though, right? In California, they kept voting for these people. And you got to suspect they will continue to keep voting for them.
Absolutely.
And you look at Denver, I mean, you know, Johnston vetoed the crazy city council passed a law that would essentially put needle exchange programs in every neighborhood. And apparently almost like literally in the playgrounds at schools, it removed all, because like that's what we need in Denver, more needle exchange programs. Like that's going to help anything. And Johnston vetoed it. And I got to wonder, you disagree with me, but I got to wonder if he would have vetoed it if he hadn't had that 16th Street mall stabbing and is maybe a little worried.
Well, you know, he might think that it's all he cares about the homeless, and the biggest cause of death among the homeless is drug overdoses. Maybe he thought maybe shouldn't increase that per se by giving him more free needles and syringes and crack pipes and everything else they might need.
Oh, and Jacob is saying in the city council, are you saying the city? Oh, by the way, that video was courtesy of Jacob, too. Thank you, Jacob. Are you saying the Denver City Council is needling the Denver mayor? I don't think that's pretty funny. I don't think they have the votes to overturn the veto, do they?
No, it takes 9 votes. And unless they can convince, you know, one of the 5 to join them, they won't override it.
But again, and that's just looking at it. So the same day that, you know, you've got flight attendants and airline pilots talking openly on the plane about how, you know, how
we're about to arrive in a sucky city. Watch out, you know.
Right. And in the meantime,
be sure to use it should you come out of your hotel room.
Yeah, you can go to your needle exchange program if you survive after the quest to buy heroin by walking down the street. I mean, even heroin dealers are going to have to start avoiding Denver because it's too dangerous, right? Why would a city council think, oh, yeah, that's what we need. We need more needle exchange programs. And I go back to somewhere or another, somebody's making money and that money is getting funneled back to city council members. I mean, that's the only way to explain it, really, don't you think?
Well, it's really part of a 3-part harm reduction program. First, you get the centers, and you know, they're always working on the words. They're no longer needle exchange. They're syringe exchange. Oh, the nice syringes. They're not the needle, not the mean needles. Part 2 of the program is then to open safe injection sites at the same place. So you can go up, shoot up there, not worry about anything, have a good time. Relax, don't worry about anybody hassling you about, you know, maybe you want to get off heroin, which is always annoying.
Well, and it makes it so much easier.
And then part 3 of this program is the regulated supply of drugs, which means that they'll provide free heroin and meth to all the ones with their needles and syringes. And so you get a tripartite perfect deal. You can someplace you can go, hang out, shoot up, get the best drugs possible, and then, you know, go home for a fitful sleep. And you wonder, well, who came up with this idea? And you have to understand the group behind it's a harm reduction group. They used to describe themselves as advocates for intervening as drug users for their wants and needs. And if you were an intervening drug user, what would you want? Well, you want syringes and needles. You want, you know, a safe place to shoot them up, and you want all the heroin and meth that you can get, and that's what they're trying to give them. And so you can't.
You wouldn't think.
Harm reduction. It's harm reduction, folks.
That's right. And then politicians should be liable for promoting a false portrayal of their city as being safe, like they've been lying about the stats. From Charlene, who says they need to put up signs to say this. And then unsuspecting tourists and visitors believe it and go out for a stroll. Slick marketing brochures full of lies. Well, you know, the thing is, Charlene, people aren't believing it anymore. I think that's, you know, and again, I don't know at what point the people of Denver start electing different kind of leaders. But I mean, the reason city council members, like they were saying in that funny video, they're like, hey, you keep voting for us. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're a city council member who voted for this, you're like, oh, that's all right. I mean, you know, they're going to keep voting. And for Dr. Donna, meanwhile, those who suffer daily with confirmed pain or denied pain medication now being pushed as part of the government's drug-free programs. Yeah, the whole thing is a mess. And we'll see what happens with Denver. And again, you guys are working on that for the newspaper. Other good news, though, thank God for President Biden, Chuck. President Biden, yep, peace in the Middle East. Israel and Hamas announced a deal today. Trump announced it first because he knew first because it was his people who helped arrange it. But Biden then took credit, and somebody asked him at the press conference where he made the announcement, you know, do you give any credit to Donald Trump? And he said, is that a joke? And it's like, no, it's actually not a joke.
You want to tell Bibi Netanyahu, do what you need to do, but Try to get, they estimate there's only 20 of the hostages left. I mean, there may be some additional Israeli soldiers that captured, but there's 20 of them left.
No, I think there's some Americans.
And all they'll say, well, okay, we'll give you the bones, though. I know you want the bones.
Well, and it was an exchange. But I think, remember, Donald Trump, it wasn't that long ago, though, said they'll be held to pay if they don't release it. I have a feeling. I mean, so Biden, this has been going on for, 15 months under the Biden administration. Donald Trump in a matter of days is going to take over. And suddenly, there's Hamas, there's a peace deal. I just have to think, like you were saying earlier, that Israel, Trump was saying to Israel, hey, take this off my plate here. We got a lot of things to do, and you guys got to deal with this.
We got to invade Iran. So let's get that.
Let's get that done. Now, does anyone actually think that there will be peace? No, do you? I mean,
peace in our time.
Yeah.
No question about it. Seems like a very peaceful kind of place and will continue to be so. It's a beauty.
And then in the meantime, another kind of funny thing, I'm kind of all over the place today, but there is a lot going on today. Jill Biden is in a Washington Post interview is opening up about Nancy Pelosi. And apparently it's sort of confirming the rumors that Nancy Pelosi helped sink Joe Biden. First off, I have my doubts about this. Jill Biden said that Joe would have been perfectly fine to do 4 more years.
It's no different than his presently.
Exactly. We have this bright new bunch of interns ready to come in and start running the country. He would have been totally fine. And then she said she was disappointed. I don't know why she didn't just call her out on it, but she was disappointed by Nancy Pelosi's lack of support and the things she said. And she said, we've been friends
of her blackmailing Joe.
Yeah.
Into this easy way or the hard way.
Yeah. Well, and Dr. Donna says, do 4 more years. Where? Gitmo. Yeah. I don't know. I think Karine Jean-Pierre gave her last press conference. It's got to be kind of weird being at the White House. And again, if you're Joe Biden, he's in the negative numbers now, I think, in approval rating. But the reporters are saying, do you give Donald Trump credit? And he's like, is that a joke? It's like, no, that's actually not a joke. So...
Oh, you're absolutely right. They all hate to leave. I remember back in George W. Bush when he came in after the Clinton, and as an act of protest, they took the W off of all the computers just to screw them up. Not easy to replace the W, you know.
They've got Sherry online. We've got Sherry online one. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling in. Welcome to the show again.
Hi, thanks. You know, Joe Biden was doing some red pilling for us. He was talking and he was saying that the Texas fires are by DOES, direct energy weapons. And then he said, blue objects don't burn with direct energy weapons. And then he said, check the Lahaina fires, white ash, melted glass and steel, blue umbrellas untouched. Strange that a metal car is incinerated, but a blue roof keeps a house safe. And then he mentions homes burned, but others didn't burn. Shrubbery wasn't burned, but some places were melted. And I thought that was quite interesting coming out of his mouth.
Well, who knows? Yeah, you got to wonder. Did he seem? I hadn't heard any of that, but it's like, yeah. You got to wonder if you're the Biden administration now too. It's like maybe they're like, oh, we don't care anymore. But who knows what he's going to say, right? Because the guy does know stuff, right? And so who knows? And yeah, as you said, maybe.
I know. Just like in California, the one guy, he says something about. They had all the fire trucks ready. I guess it was the governor. He was saying how they had everything staged and ready. This was before the fires, like 2 days before the fires. And you're kind of like, okay. it's just pretty interesting that they slip now. You're getting a lot of slips. And if you listen really closely, it's quite interesting.
Sherry, Charlene is asking, did Biden say that about the Blue Ruse? Was he being sarcastic or was he, I didn't see that. So was that today or when was that? And was he being sarcastic or you think he was just sort of saying stuff that he thought?
It wasn't being sarcastic. I'll try to find that link.
Okay.
And put it on Facebook. I'll post it there on your
on the Facebook page. Stuff. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, they might be slipping.
Replies.
Who knows? You know, the Biden, he's clearly crabby. You know, so about having to leave. So who knows what he may say. Maybe he'll release the Epstein list, you know, because at least we know he's the one person who's not on it, probably, right? So, go ahead.
The fire has been really, really interesting because with Maui, you hardly heard anything. And then
yes.
The hurricane in the mountains in North Carolina, you really didn't hear anything. But this fire... You're hearing a lot of stuff. I mean, you're hearing about the tunnels. You're hearing about the tunnels under the Getty Museum.
Right.
You're hearing how they're all connected underneath there. You're finding out that I guess it's 60% of the water rights are owned by a couple people.
Yeah, agriculture people.
Linda and Stuart Resnick, they own 60% of California's water rights. And it's like they use over 150 billion gallons of water every year, but yet they're short on water in California. So you're learning an awful lot from this fire that,
California,
insurance.
It is. It's kind of like New York where, you know, those are the elite media. Those are the epicenters of the elite media world. Right. And I think that's why. And I think you have enough reporters and people whose houses are being burned down that they're kind of annoyed about the whole thing. So,
well,
yeah,
this is in Omaha. If Omaha was burning down, you would never hear about
it.
In
Colorado, right? You wouldn't hear that, too. Hey, Sherry, as always, you have great calls. Thank you for the information. This is from Jacob. Newsom should act like his reservoirs and dry up. And then Charlene, Biden is supposedly vindictive. Maybe he'll expose stuff on the way out. That's why they're not going to let him speak anymore. And then Dr. Donna says to Jacob, if you look closely, he has a head start in that drying up, more accelerated than one might see with normal aging. That's all the tanning salons, I think, or something. I don't know. But yeah, Gavin Newsom, but here's the thing that he though, and Karen Bass will probably survive, you know, just like Mike Johnson, I guarantee you he will get elected to a second term. Don't you think?
A third term, you know, he's got to finish off the city. He wants to finish off what he began.
Before he starts running for governor. And, you know, and the city council members, if they're eligible, the ones that can be, you know, they'll get elected.
Well, they
got
to get rid of the five that. So uncaring not to do the harm reduction.
Right. Exactly. Which is just, again, that should be a no brainer. Like there is really no neighborhoods are out there advocating for needle exchange programs in their neighborhood. Right. No one, if they had voted that down, there'd be like three people with the NGOs who make the money who'd be disappointed. No one else would care. In fact, other people would be like, why are we even actually talking about this? Right. So, Jacob says about Newsom Botox, maybe. And then he said, I thought California, I don't know. I wasn't talking about California. I was talking about Jacob, Colorado, where the mayor of Denver has three terms. Maybe he'll pass it so it has four. Hey, and finally, this is a funny one I forgot to play on Monday. Going back to the, this is another spoof, the body language between Obama and Trump when they were kind of laughing. Yeah, when they were kind of laughing about stuff. Somebody put a spoof together again about what they were really saying. So sort of just to wrap things up, Doug, final, if we could play the Trump-Obama video clip, please.
Barack, very nice to see you.
Congratulations.
So how are you doing? A lot better, Dad.
Yeah, I bet. Knew you'd win.
Oh, really? Well, come on. Anyone could beat her.
She's just... I was just as appalled. You know what happened? You just didn't want to leave.
I know.
It's what happened. I did what I could to help her. She was 4 inches.
I know. You know what I realized? Hillary still hates me. So much. I know. She'll never forget me.
That's a funny sound.
We should meet to discuss.
I think so too. We can definitely set something up. Let me know whatever works best for you.
Allie's gonna fly back to Florida tomorrow for the golf.
Okay.
Kamala walking in.
I was told some of her people. Apparently, they said she fell off the wagon.
I think she actually made it. Sure. And also, she's not really built for this. That amount of pressure, if you're not built for it, we'll do it.
Like, and Charlie, from Dr. Donda, they captured the mannerisms. And actually, I forgot that was Trump that posted that, right? So that's good to see. It was, that whole thing was just so funny. They were like a bunch of middle school kids or something like that, except for Donald Trump and Melania, right? It's like, and Barack Obama, he seemed fine. And then here, this is funny. Michelle Obama, who didn't go to the funeral, is not going to go to the inauguration because she's not a phony. It's like, who would have expected Michelle Obama to go to the inauguration anyway? I mean, that wouldn't shock me, right? It's like, I could see, you know, probably Jill Biden might be there, but, you know, Michelle Obama, why would she go? She'd be like, I'm in Hawaii.
I can see Michelle kind of, look, Brock, you go, you can get a rent-a-boy to go with you or whatever you need, you know, the interim. Well,
he's trying to convince the Democrats the whole thing wasn't his fault, you know?
Yeah, right. The blacks still love, everybody loves me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm still in charge.
Hey, listen, that is going to wrap it. Anything else you wanted to throw in?
No, but I think it's going to be fun watching these wild card hearings. And you do have to kind of have a set of 4 or 5 on as you're watching each one and seeing if there's any action or if they've gotten somebody. So this is going to be entertaining for the whole week.
All right. Hey, guys, that will do it for us. On Friday, it is Party Friday, so who knows what we have then. Thank you to Doug, everybody on Zoom. Have a good week.
Take care, everybody. Stay safe.